CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Welcome to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. I'm here with Catherine McLeod. Well, last week we did a deep dive into two Montreal records, one from 1957, which was six Montreal poets, and the second one was from 2024, which is Fear, or F-Y-E-A-R, Kai Kello, Jason Sharp, a whole bunch of local Montreal musicians doing spoken word. Mm-hmm.
I'm back.
Yeah. So Catherine had to move to the other side of the studio in order to get that mic going. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good, Jason. I'm still thinking about what we listened to last week quite a bit because it was such a nice juxtaposition of two Montreal poetry albums and listening to those recordings of people like Leonard Cohen and Irving Layton, F.R. Scott and A.G.M. Smith, and some A.M. Klein as well. And then jumping right to the contemporary sounds of poets like Kai Kello and Taita Tanya Evanson, who are the poets that you hear on Fire or Fear, depending on how you pronounce it. F-Y-E-A-R. Check out that album off of Constellation Records for new sounds of poetry in Montreal. And today we're back with another album. We thought we'd continue that sort of deep dive into Montreal poetry albums. And this is an album called, well, I'm just going to read out the cover in its entirety. It's both saying where it's from, but also what it's called. Wired on Words, Millennium Cabaret. It sounds like I almost want to say millennial, but it's Millennium. And it was actually from the 90s, so pre-millennia.
And it's an album, but it's not an album. It's a CD. We're deep into the mid-90s now. 1995.
Right, and we're following the media. So yeah, that's right. I was so into the album, I called it an album. But we've moved from vinyl to CD.
Yeah, and you know, tonight at the Millennium Cabaret, that's sort of how the content of this CD is introduced on the back.
Yeah.
25 poets of notoriety and renown. 21 big hits. Sort of these would be big hits in the spoken word scene in Montreal in the mid-1990s. A three-part miniseries. Ian Ferrier, who is the producer of this album. The executive producers were Fortner Anderson and Ian Ferrier together. Ian Ferrier was a longtime host of spoken word events in Montreal for over 30 years. And he was great at building up sort of suspense and sort of excitement around the performers who were about to hit the stage. And we're going to listen to a lot of this content. It's a wide range of artists and we'll just name a few of them, you know, Dee Smith, Corey Frost, Catherine Kidd, Ian Stevens, Reggie Kobiko, who's not from Montreal, but who was a regular visitor to Montreal in the 1990s. Julie Chrysler, Heather O'Neill, who was doing spoken word at the time. Todd Swift and Tom Walsh, who were working under the act name Swifty Lazarus. Jake Brown, who was a host of the Yop series in the 90s. Lee Gotham, who ran the Enough Said series, 94 to 95, out of Bistro Cat. So this is really a kind of hardcore compilation of what spoken word recently and sort of moving into the future was becoming in Montreal at that time. Very turbulent time in Montreal, quite depressing if you were sort of walking the streets. Everything seemed to be for rent and vacant. Rents were as cheap as possible, which was great for spoken word artists and musicians. It was also the year of the second referendum in Quebec, so there was a lot going on and a lot of opinions being shared in a lot of venues. And, you know, the recordings on this album, many of which were live, then produced later, sort of capture some of the spirit of the city at that time.
All right, let's listen to track one.
Yeah, so actually let's line up a couple tracks here, and we'll let you know what they are. We have Emily S. Emily S. Downing, who's going to be reading Heroin and Belittling Conversation.
Then we have What the Hell by D. Smith.
And I think we'll end this first mini-series, as Ian was calling them for this album, with a track by Ian Ferrier and the Brio Trio, which included Sam Shalabi, still a local legend guitar player, Andre Asselin on bass, and Jay Skodnik on percussion. This is a title track of an album that he released around the same time called Exploding Headman. But first, Emily S. Downing.
Yeah, and Jason's going to hit play on the CD player here in the studio.
Yeah, we'll see if this works.
How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. You fine. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. How fine? Are fine. You fine. You fine. You fine. You fine. Hey, chick, I said you fine. The world is calling you, and you look up slowly like it's still made up of old men talking over a card table, something incomprehensible, or like you are still a child too young to understand you're not. You fine, they ask, and you say, yeah, it's cool. I mean, I don't mind. Holes in you and the whole of you too small for hands to reach in and fill. I know I've tried, and I watch you trying to fill, looking for a joke, a joint, a smoke, another and another drink, another drag, jog your feet through snow city streets, can we play the past the back door slam of a broken down Cadillac where you live? Press your fingers tighter around the glass now, tighter, downing, drowning, downing, drowning, saying pour me another, pour me another, pour me another, like you can hold your own and it ain't heavy, like it ain't even heavy at all. Hi, how are you, girl? How high are you, girl? I passed a junkie the other day in the street, maybe 19 years old, thin, shaking. It was the first time this year it was snowing, and I didn't have anything. Not even any change or reason to slow down my pace, even though I was thinking about you then and how at 16 you were so scared, shaking so you let someone else hold the needle. There is a first time. There is a first time. There are holes in you, though your long shirt sleeves won't cover, a joke, a joint, a smoke, another, and another, and another, and they are hard to find, these holes, but I have seen them, collecting rain and filled over and over with never enough, a prick, a prick, a prick drawing a single drop of red you, it is snowing. And I wonder what streets house you now, how deep the wool keeps warm your soft flesh, I knew your name once, and it is not enough. There are holes in me. From where I tried to fill you. How are you fine? How are you fine? Yeah, but there are holes in me. From where I tried to fill you. And I know, sweetie, I know that words don't belong there. Not even the sound of your voice, beautiful, sweet girl voice when you turn to ask the man. Sweet, breathy girl voice, like you know how to beg or like you have never begged before, sounding almost shy. You turn and ask the man and say, hey, I know it's only Tuesday and all, but do you think just this once you could pay me under the table? I need to get something fixed. That was Heroin and Belittling Conversation. My name is Emily S. Downing for Wired on Words.
I just want you to keep a steady rhythm going. Something like this. So what the hell, what the hell, me say what a situation. Hard life I take the poor of the nation. What the hell, what the hell, what a situation. Some willing to sell them reputation. You know, for promotion and prestige, some willing to seize and care not if them use underhanded means. Say, what a hell, what a hell, what a condition, no new plans, fit alleviation. What a hell, what a hell, mental starvation, going about new arbitration. Well, the disease called poor, some can't take it no more, so them totally flip out and I take handout. In a this democratic society, some a live off a charity, money are not the priority. Them claim is humanity. So what the hell, what the hell, what a situation, going about new arbitration. What the hell, what the hell, for change the situation, we have to come up with new creation. What the hell, what the hell, me say what a situation, no new plans for alleviation. What the hell, what the hell, for change the situation, we have to come up with newer creation. We have to come up with newer creation. Thank you.
had started talking when the scent of your body exploded the top off my head. And I went blind searching for you, some taste of you among the starlight falling on my thoughts. Below, the moon's face cracked like pearls or lucite in the spellbound sky. God, it was hot. I thought the lightning had shattered the world. The ragged, star-clothed edges wheeling, cracking on the rocks. Machinery that woke those constellations circling in the water high above my head. The gold fish approaching the sun, glittering in my thoughts. The water blasting through my sleep like Van Gogh's river. So you create the shreds of evidence of this crime, paint them all to detonate the time bomb of your lipstick slashed vermilion on my face. And in that chalk outline where we both lie down, I am exploding headman, holding the fuse that blows the universe machine till space and time spill out and freeze and fill the nothing with a million tangled molecules of you and me and it and what and how and us and thee and why and now.
We are listening to Millennium Cabaret, an album, a CD released by Wired on Words. It was a recording that was made by Wired on Words, and it was recorded, a series of recordings done in the, around 1995, we just heard Emily S. Dowling and then Dee Smith, followed by Ian Ferrier and the Brio Trio, which was made up of Sam Shalabi, Andrea Sullen, and Jay Skodnik.
Yeah, and I was actually going to read a little bit from the back of this CD. This is text that describes the contents that was written by Ian Ferrier. Recording for Millennium Cabaret started in 1995 with a huge party in a dance studio on Avenue des Pins. It continued over 2 years, tracking the poets of the wild Montreal cabaret scene from stage to studio to stage again. This cabaret goes back to the roots of poetry, as the voice of women and men before Gutenberg engraved it all onto paper. And I should say the reason there was a cabaret scene in Montreal at that time was, as I was mentioning earlier, because half the city was for rent as a result of fear stoked by the 1995 referendum. A lot of businesses and other places, people were leaving the city, leaving a lot of big vacant warehouses and storefronts and all kinds of spaces that could be taken over by artists of all kinds.
Yeah, I like that this in this CD, in the liner notes, there's so much here. It even talks about how a lot of these tracks were recorded in DNA Studios, and it makes me just think of like what kind of space that would have been, with as both recording studio and space for a cabaret, and you know, there's some spaces kind of like that still, but it really was a moment in Montreal.
Yeah, well, DNA, which was engineered, run by Andrew Frank, who was the engineer on this album, was actually located sort of at the foot of Saint Laurent, just before Old Montreal. It was in a really old building, kind of a basement-y feel to it. Really nice studio. Probably, if this was recorded in '95, the technology for recording would have been ADAT. Which is a not much used medium anymore, but it was sort of a digital era just coming into emergence, but mostly still digital tape, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. We're going to just continue and play some more off this record. Mm-hmm. Three more tracks. Buffy Bonanza is going to perform Auto Neurotica. Then we have The Ministries Part 1, Who is Yukio Funai, by Corey Frost, who was a really important conceptual spoken word performer of the time. And it was written and co-produced in Japan by Corey Frost, interview and vocals by Miki Takahashi and Ray T.I. And what's the third track we're going to listen to?
Then we'll finish off this set with a track by Catherine Kidd. You might have either heard or seen Catherine Kidd perform here in Montreal. She's just fantastic to see. So I'm glad she's on this, and I'm imagining seeing her in the 90s. It's a track that also has sound design by Jack Biswell, and it notes that it's engineered and produced at The Swamp by Jack B.
You tried it just once, found it all right for kicks. Now you're finding out that it's a habit that sticks. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You get in the heat, you get in the sweat. But you can't stop beating your mound to death. You're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're always at it. You're always at it. 'Cause you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. It's a difficult thing, desire in an MTV era, when masturbation is an oft-heard word like speculum or fire, but they're wrong. Masturbation is defined by Webster's dictionaries as the manipulation of genitals, not specifically one's own genitals. And back from where I come from, we just call that a Saturday night. It's autoerotica, they mean, for they do it all alone, the easy slip of hand from chin past belly and beyond. The image's appearance staccato flashes, but it's not enough to have one person in my mind's eye. I'm thinking about the mouth of one person, the hands of another, till I'm ripping apart every lover I've ever had and every lover I've ever wanted, and they are legion. And sewing them together like Dr. Frankenstein's monster with 2 million breasts, 1 million cocks, and 1 million Venus wells. And I'm channel surfing through desire like it's a bad TV night. And I'm convinced I'll go blind and hair will spread on my hands, my vibrator, my pillow. And just when I think I get to the point where I can hit the target, where I can let the whole world dissolve in one blinding flash of light, my attention wanders. I've always had a short attention span. I start thinking about Jenny Garth's new haircut on 90210, We're Friends, and all that great TV I miss out on because I'm never home on a Thursday night, and I've never figured out how to program my VCR, and where was I? Oh. My mom always told me, if you want anyone to love you, you first got to learn to love yourself. And I'll keep trying, distilling my desire into tiny points of fire that will eventually sear my flesh. Because Mama always told me, if you want anyone to love you, you first got to learn to love yourself.
Head out to Mundial Montreal, a boutique event bringing the best talent and industry professionals from over 40 countries in the world. From November 19th to 22nd, come out to workshops, conferences, performances, and more. The artists performing include Movie, Jose Carrillo, Burnstick, and many more. For more information and to buy tickets, visit mundialmontreal.com.
The Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Every Friday night from 6 to 8 on 3JLO. Tune in. Turn on. Freak out.
CJLO 1690 AM. Sounds best? Crank to 11.
Pardon, who is your telephone line?
Rita and marketing consultant.
Marketing consultant?
Yes. Okay. Old man. Bold.
Bold, yeah.
Yes. And alien.
70% of young people in the world
alien.
Are aliens.
Yes, alien.
Of the three of us, probably two of us are aliens.
That's right.
We look like humans, even though we're aliens. Because of our preconceptions. We think humans. So we see humans.
Yes.
It's not religion.
Science.
Yes.
I'm a visitor in a small town. In 2 years, I've worked my way through the video rental shelves until I come upon V, the miniseries with Japanese subtitles. Open bracket, luckily a combination of cultural arrogance and a postmodern education allows me to find this interesting in an ironic sort of way, close bracket. I'm the first to realize that the invaders are among us. Our preconceptions cause us to mistake ourselves for humans until we turn out to be lizards or communists. What gives us away, finally, is our eyes. They're green, or on stalks, or we can see 180 degrees like a chameleon. Children aren't confused by our disguises. They draw my Japanese-American friend with blonde hair and blue eyes like the gaijin that she is, and they interrogate me. Why are my eyes a different color from hers, since I'm a gaijin too? The first episode ends with everyone submitting to retina scans.
Seen through a bus window, they are as startling as a colony of anemone, and as bright, piled in their wooden trough between steps of other greener fruit. But this is far too far away to touch them, their skins only appearing wet through glass. Through rain, through glass again. The space between a self and those spheres is intimate and remote. They become one's own heart when held in the hand. While they're behind the glass, they are sold by the pound, like lobsters or bullion. I could not be the one employed to name their color, as an object becomes its name and then becomes invisible. Naming the color is naming the fruit, that particular fruit. To eat one, perhaps, is to unname it. An orange is held in the hand, rolled between the palms, until tiny flakes of wax glitter on the skin, like the scales of a goldfish. Then the hand is scaly too, an orange hand, sharing name, sharing scent, and substance. But I am conscious of an indiscretion here. The orange is smaller than I am, and I press it through language, having little choice. But its skin feels to my mouth as familiar as that inner arm soft beneath the curved shoulder of some beloved one who sleeps, an arm unconsciously straying beyond the sheets and hovering there in the dark and becoming as cool as the room. Blind fingers know the features of the fruit, how quickly it warms to the touch. They know they are perversely drawn to the stumpy green callus of stem, pried away to open up a pale and floral hollow, a socket, a follicle. The orange is mammalian, like me. It has relied upon maternity, which is older and constant. Skin pockets of pulp like wet tissue paper, the eyes are eggs of tropical fish, the buds upon a tongue. A skin sack holding eggs, it is as intimate as this. Some men have sexed the orange out of hunger, out of incompleteness, calling it resilient, perhaps. Once a man said to me, "You are resilient." I loved and hated him, knowing that resilience requires certain conditions for its flowering, a certain tawdry openness to fall or be plucked from the tree in the first place. But once another man sat by a lake, played sax in the morning, and said, "An orange is not a fruit you eat, you have a relationship with it." But it was over too soon, things being what they were, too much in the sun and too ripe. And as with many delicious things, there is a perverse compulsion to devour it too quickly, its juice already trailing down the fingers and under the nails as it clings to itself in the hand. Regrettably, more time is spent in retrospective contemplation of the pale, exposed undercoat, too soon left lying, disheveled and exhausted, like a crayfish picked clean. Or a starfish spread open on a windowsill and left to dry, even until its scent is gone.
Millennium Cabaret presents works by the top performance poets in North America. People like North American slam champ Reggie Cabico and Quebec writers Geneviève Letarte and Hélène Monette. Featured, too, is one of the last recorded works of the late, great Ian Stevens. Yeah, for some reason, the mics are going on and off on us, which seems appropriate for a spoken word-themed show. But we're just going to move ahead to our next track. We're going to play another little sequence of three songs. In this case, we're going to start with a sound poem by Fluffy Pagan Echoes, which included Victoria Stanton and Vince Tingley. Then we're going to move to two poems about TV. Do You Want a Color TV? By Ian Stevens, who was just mentioned before, who was a major spoken word poet in the 80s and 90s in Montreal, and unfortunately passed died of AIDS during that time. And then on TV, Fortner Anderson, who's still very active in the spoken word scene, still runs a show on CKUT about spoken word and was very recently nominated as one of the finalists for the Quebec Writers Federation Ian Ferrier Spoken Word Prize. But first,
Do you want a color TV? Do you want a color TV? Thin blood spits into a radiant pool from the nostrils. Around the man of steel, I step over him and piss a long time. He's pawing me. I can feel his fingers near my boots. Everybody loves me. I am a busboy. It's late. I start taking apart the umbrellas on the terrace, heaving the weighted bases along the wet floor towards the storeroom. I have a room on Mozart. Some nights I sleep on the fire escape. I remember Manitoba. Big skyland, you could see the weather 100 miles away. I still miss him. Always will. His face, his eyes, his lips giving me tattoos, and smoky, stunk, dirty kisses between the stories, dreams, fucks. Where will it end? I don't know what I'll do. I don't know. I'm asymptomatic right now. A beauty queen. I may fall. Or, you know, I may not. Exactly. Exactly. Do you want a color TV? Do you want a color TV?
It's alive and bubbling light. It's where the wacky meets the zany. It's where the fabulous fornicates with the incredible. It's action-packed and real to life with thrills and chills. It's always spring, and I'm falling in love on TV. It's a paradise of Pop-Tarts, a delight of iced beer, and it's raining salt-free Doritos on my very own Saturn Geo. Lemon-scented pine sol whitens the stains on my withered soul. Right guard stick makes it all so safe. It's titters on the laugh track, buxom babes in distress, and pistol-packing beef in classic cars. It's me cruising in the four-wheel drive, fumbling with the cell phone and staining the upholstery on TV. I'm the man on the street, baring my teeth in the local mall and calling for the chastisement of the unchristian. I'm an aging general with trembling hands, feeding a line to a people hungry for the end of peace. I'm a dark, stern god selling shit and shinola to a bent tin deity cowering on a broken mud floor far away. I'm a lovable judge. You're a avuncular boss wearing a shit-eating grin with my hands stuffed high up your tight little bum, and I'm all the cuddly cops in Cracktown. On TV, blood streams into a warm pool on a rutted track in some forgotten place where the anthrax's milk and the milk is scarce. Fires burn on the horizon and the newly dead hide their faces as they hurry into their shallow trenches. The unfortunate poor are on parade, and each night the fading stars bear all as you scratch the itch between your legs and yawn wide. On TV, you're by the side of those foreign kids, those piles of flesh-covered sticks with the big round eyes and the bloated bellies, comforting them with your presence. On TV, the skies weep down the colorful shadows of the living and the dead as the electric monkey sits and claws at your failing eyes. On TV, you live in your last sanctuary, the hot tomb you crawl to when all the lies you've eaten and now carry thick about your gut liquefy and corrode your dirty little shithole. On TV, Jeffrey Dahmer welcomes you, his hungry brothers and sisters, into the land of the pharaohs. On TV, you eat your last hopes, your broken ideals, your busted dreams open wide. On TV you live, On TV you live! On TV!
And we're back with Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. My name is Catherine McLeod, and I'm here with Jason Camelot, and we're listening to Millennium Cabaret, a CD of recordings of Montreal poets from the mid-90s. We've also been reading through the liner notes because they really set the scene for what we're listening to, and we're going to jump back into those liner notes. Jason, take it away.
Other works by young poets you've never heard of will surely find their audience in the next millennium. In an age of corporate entertainment, the very personal messages of these poets reflect the power, the beauty, the anger of a single person's take on the world we inhabit. These are poems here you will not forget.
Like any live animal, or like a torch too hot for one person to juggle all the time, the cabaret scene is evolving as we speak. In Montreal, its core has been passed continually from Lee Gotham's Enough Said show, through Wired on Words, through Tom Swift's Slam and Jake Brown's continuing Yop, through the Volume and Unusual Suspects show too, to Mitsiko Miller's La Vache Enragée, Alex and Carla's Legbo, The Devil's Voice, a new slam show by Alexis O'Hara, the list doesn't end. Works in progress by other talented poets and promoters lead us to believe that the next compilation to come along might list a whole new set of names.
Wow. Well, we're going to listen to a few more names. Yeah. It's actually Todd Swift. So that's going to be the last track we're going to hear, which is History is Dead, Read My Lips, Swifty Lazarus, which was a group called by Todd Swift and Tom Walsh. Mm-hmm. But before that, we're going to hear Bikes by Chris Bell and Heure de Pointe by Hélène Monette and Bob Olivier on guitar.
I don't know if you know many dead people, but I guess, because I'll never see a dead friend again, but lately, I've been seeing them riding bikes on the street. I think they started out on foot. But it's summer, and maybe there's more people on bikes now. Anyway, a buddy of mine who's a neuropsychologist, I was talking to him about trying to meet someone at the jazz festival. You know how you can say, we'll meet at this exact lamppost, and both of you will stand there and never see each other. My buddy thinks that since there's in our visual cortex these cells that are specialized for recognizing faces that evolved when we probably only see a couple of hundred humans in our whole lifetime, that at the jazz festival they overload and all the faces blur, or at least the parts of each one don't fix together right. So anyways, the point is that if maybe you're out riding your bike one day and you catch me staring at you, it's just only because I think you're somebody I know who's dead. Bikes by Chris Bell for Wired on Words.
Il y a 25 Marc Lépine par wagon le soir à 5 heures et ils ne savent pas qui ils sont, mais forcément ils savent où ils vont. Mais dans le fond, nous toutes à garde, les yeux ronds. Nous faisons de chaque panne, de chaque arrêt suspect, de chaque incident technique, un accident toujours probable, toujours trop évident, même s'il n'arrive jamais. Nous dévisageons les gars louches, durs à cuire, qui prennent trois bancs et un poteau arrogant, alors que des messieurs très bien comptables dévisagent notre tenue vestimentaire au-dessous de la norme, nos accents de pauvreté et notre tête populaire. Négligés, nous le sommes de bien des façons. Mais ni un regard de travers, ni un croc en jambe ne nous distraira de notre petite mission communautaire aussi absurde qu'éreintante. Le ridicule ne tue pas. Nous en sommes l'épreuve vivante. C'est bien pour dire comment la justice prend tous les airs et tous les visages qui se font de l'ombre les uns les autres le soir, quand tout craque à l'heure dite. Le désœuvrement, c'est la fin du monde étalée dans les cernes d'un visage forcément humain, l'équivoque de la pauvreté et de la misère. Quand l'intérieur camoufle des bruits, comme un long cri que l'on n'entend pas à l'extérieur en état de crise, forcément, nous tous, une foule, spectre de valeurs éprouvantes, fenêtre close dans un autobus à 5 heures, à 8h30, à 9h05. Quand la pluie acide égratigne la rest-up, la vitre où l'on devine la figure confortable du propriétaire de voiture payée. Quand toutes les bottes yellow de la file d'attente sont dans la slush, sans équivoque, n'ayant pas peur des mots qui salissent les bottes. C'est merveilleux d'être quelqu'un et d'y croire. Le problème, c'est de recharger les batteries d'une telle croyance. Comment croire une telle aberration plus longtemps qu'un petit moment, un blanc, un répit mental entre deux ascenseurs, trois PDE, quatre cafés et une foule patibulaire où quelques chatons se sont fait les griffes sur les paletots élimés des personnages vacants, les faces à claques de service qui ne sont pas payés cher pour leur permanence au coin de la rue. Nous sommes de retour sur Terre chaque fois qu'un regard comme ça nous transperce. Le désenchantement, c'est la fin du monde au coin de la rue, dans une boutique bien rangée, avec des vendeurs compétents, un service après-vente sans pareil, où l'on met en vente des gadgets semi-automatiques qui coûtent les yeux de la tête et le reste à l'ouette.
5, 4, 3, 2.
104 years ago today, Oscar Wilde extolled the virtues of lying. That was during the decadence. Now it's 1997. Welcome to the imminence. History is dead, and the full weight of the present hovers over everyone. This is no slow disintegration from truth to beauty. We are in the rapid-fire line of information, which erases whatever lies or tells the truth in its path. When exactly did history die? Paradoxically, that's a question for historians. Still, it is possible to provide various moments that might have been the instant that history ceased to matter. The coming down of the Berlin Wall, the end of the Cold War, the Persian Gulf conflict, Ross Perot, the former Yugoslavia, O.J. Simpson. All of these signal the end of a linear transmission from fact to witness to you, the end of ideological struggle, and the beginning of mediation, where the appearance-reality distinction fails to be a duality and becomes a complicity instead. Who knew? Historians, the people who took everything that happened in the recorded past and re-recorded it for the present using new technology in order to change, control the future. Now, the amount of data printed, broadcast, and performed at any one moment exceeds the total amount of all data that exists about the past. It is an inverted pyramid, widening at the top every second at an exponential rate. Existence is out of control. Now, historians long for an apocalypse, so they can call a halt to the velocity of change long enough to catch up. The rest of us know the end of the world is old news. Reality is speed. Only if you are there first can you create, instead of eat, the bullshit. That's why CNN had the cameras on the Somalian beach before the Marines landed. Speed is reality. Only those plugged into their machines at all times can move at the speed of information. Money is too slow. Make language intravenous. The fastest thing alive is the picture you are about to see. The image is light. The image is faster than the eye. Welcome to your mind. Eat my inscription. Some people deplore the state of affairs. Conspiracy theorists and lovers want to know what's really going on. The point is, we are going on all the time. Nothing is more or less important than where you happen to be right now. JFK was caught in a triangulation of fire. Pat Buchanan was on crossfire. There is no lone gunman. There is no lone ranger. 50,000 women have been raped in the Balkans. The good guys won. The lies on lies on lies are freedom. We've got to surf on the waves of lies. Way cool, not. 2 + 2 = 4, not. Smoke Winston Smith's. Zimachin is right. Poetry is a commodity. But consumers must stop being suspicious of the labels. The label is the rabbia. Read my lips. You are what you eat. In The Catcher in the Rye, Holden Caulfield hates fakes. But we are all fake. Inherit the brave new world. Fade in and black out. Resistance is futile. What I don't understand, what I will never understand, though, is if history is dead, why do things still happen? If there is no truth, why do I bother lying? If fiction is real, why do words never die? If reality is fiction, why do bodies hurt? If memory can be erased, how do I know it's you? If justice is a lie...
You've been listening to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. My name is Catherine McLeod, and I'm here with Jason Camelot. Thanks so much for listening. We've been hearing the CD Millennium Cabaret.
Yeah, I just wanted to end with this last thought of Ian Ferrier's, that all these signs of this new cabaret culture point to the next millennium. Baseball and hockey players will do their jobs for the fun of it, and cabarets of poets will pack the stadiums for nine-figure salaries. Hasn't quite happened yet, but who knows? Maybe that's what we're headed towards. Certainly hope so. We're going to close out the show with three more tracks from the Millennial Cabaret CD. First, we'll return to Corey Frost, conceptual spoken word artist. His mini-series, this is part three, Like an Otherworldly Dream. Followed by Skater Boys by Golda Freed. And then an excerpt from Revolutionary Baby, Paco Wilson Lopez. CJLO, this is Sonic Lit.
Part three. Like an otherworldly dream.
In the last episode, I have a close encounter with a child who points at me and yells from across the street. And I gently correct him, Chigao Uchujin des. I'm an alien. You're not dressed like an alien, he points out contemptuously. I may look remarkably familiar, but that is because perception and genetics operate in stranger ways than you can imagine. My name is Alphonse Le Chevalier, and I have 5 spleens, extraordinarily long intestines, and miraculous powers, including translation. My heart has 200 chambers instead of your 4, and this has allowed me to achieve a state of perfect love and peace. I will want to teach this to you as well, but you will be too distracted by the shade of my irises and the length of my eyelashes. The story will end in tragedy.
The Earth now doesn't have... It has only darkness.
There's only darkness?
Yes. Very sad.
Very sad.
So it's very sad.
Yeah.
No, right. It's very sad. The Earth has no intelligence.
Yours are green, greener than I've ever seen, like another world's easy. Mine are brown,
yours are brown, browner than I've ever found, like a saucer touching down. Mine are green and yours are brown.
Yours are green, greener than another ever seen like another Roger Dean. Mine are browner,
yours are brown, browner than I've ever found, like a saucer touching down. Mine are green and yours are brown, browner than I've ever found, like a saucer touching down. Mine are green and yours are brown.
That was B, the miniseries.
With additional voices by Mitchie and Ray.
Colin Frost is
Wired on Words.
The skater boys sit, chewing their fingers, staring for their food. One's on a cell phone, talking about how they're going to meet the others later across the street in front of the Dep. Are you going to order the 5 cheese pizza with bacon again? Asked the baseball cap. They're probably wondering why anyone would work. Not today, says. Eat that too much and you drop. They bang their heads down on the table when they're done and saddle off the chairs. When I get off work, the skater boys are still in front of the Dep asking each other for change. Babysitting again? I ask the clerk inside. Yeah, well, he pulls a cue card with all their names on it from the cigarette case. The names are like Wes and Holt Patch, and I keep tabs on how much they owe me. You'd think they'd get bored just hanging out with each other all the time on this block. One skater boy is smiling slowly at another boy is definitely showing off. Makes me say into your supply of gum, he's really beautiful, I bet he doesn't think about it at all. Some skater boy eyes are on me as the clerk's waving fingers swirl past no specific aisle and I'm on TV. I have that sick feeling there are about to be comments. You're not going to tell him, are you? His friends will have a PD day. The window opens like it's a drive-thru service and the clerk sticks his head out for this. Hey, Carter, she thinks your pimpled little face is good-looking. Their heads are probably buzzing with this, but some other parts may be left wondering how two people can actually get together. I'm trapped in a TV now. I'll have to walk through them doing tricks. In midair, they're like bright handkerchiefs falling out of suit jackets.
I am.
At Cinema Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry, or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from John Talon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. Le Cinéma Public for a lively cinema.
Our talks about movies always start out with the best of intentions. Opinions are shared, debates develop. But then things get heated, words get said. Friendships are tested, disagreements break out. This is when the smackdown happens. Join us for our next epic grudge match. Sundays at 2 p.m., Cinema Smackdown. Right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
State ascoltando a CJLO 1690 AM. Party time.